You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello everybody, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:45pm with Sam Norris, Bobby Beavers, Leona Mayer and Tanya Stevenson in the studio. An afternoon of jumps racing to look forward to, Carlisle, Ludlow and Southwell all over the obstacles, and an evening of all-weather action at Chelmsford City. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Andrew Mount. How are you, Mounty?
I'm good, thank you. Walton, you can't really put a Y on the end of Walton, can you? That doesn't work.
It doesn't.
No, I'll just call you John Boy like that.
Yeah.
Like we normally do.
Oh, I get John Boy, I get Wally. Not many people actually call me Mark, which is interesting.
I bet your mother does.
Well, she doesn't, because my mum, a bit of life story now, my mum actually got divorced from my father and remarried a man called Mark. So to distinguish between us, she calls him Mark and she calls me Wally. Save my own mum.
Freud would have had a field day, wouldn't he?
So yeah, that's something. Good time of year racing wise, because we've got jumping coming back. We've actually got the first meeting at Cheltenham this week. We've got Aintree not too far away as well. We've got good racing on the flat at Doncaster in what used to be the Racing Post Trophy. It's now called the Vertum Futurity Trophy. So it's that good time of year where you've got a bit of a mix of both, where whatever your persuasion, you've got something to get stuck into.
Yeah, it's that transitional period, and as you say, there's a good meeting at Cheltenham on Friday and Saturday. That meeting's been sort of built up in recent years, as most Cheltenham off meetings have outside of the festival. The Breeders' Cup's coming up as well, so as you say, there's plenty for everyone.
Yes, looking at the Breeders' Cup as well, I know we're not going to talk about it in much detail on this, but if all the mentioned runners turn up, we've got a humdinger of a Breeders' Cup coming up.
Yeah, it's going to be a cracker. That'll be a great Saturday night in the pub. And watching a few races and having a few bets.
It will. Yes, we've got that to look forward to over in the States. In terms of trends at this time of year, we'll just have a little bit of a chat about that as well. Obviously, a lot of people looking for an angle at Cheltenham where recent form isn't going to be the case. So are there ways in? Are there the little nuggets of options to get stuck into with the racing at Cheltenham and Aintree coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, this is a good time of year for Nigel Twiston Davis. And if you'd bet all his runners in October in the last 5 years, so far 74 winners from 319 runners, strike rate of more than 23%, and a profit of £70.52 to a £1 level stake at SP. That's a return on investment of over 22%. This year so far, he's already had 10 winners from 40 runners in October, has Nigel Twiston Davis. So he'll have a few out at Cheltenham on Saturday. Foxtail Hill, who won that good 2 mile chase last year. He likes decent ground. He likes to go from the front over 2 miles, and I think he's back in a Class 2 handicap chase for the first time since his victory in this race last year.
Right.
So I fancy him to go well from the front. And another trainer I like at this time, well, at Cheltenham, outside of the festival, is Neil Mulholland.
Mm.
If you'd only backed his Cheltenham runners away from the festival in March, 13 winners from 34 runners. That's with his chasers only, 38% strike rate, a profit of £53.14 to a £1 level stake. And if you did just the ones to start at 9-1 or shorter in October, chasers, five wins from eight, and third place as well. So, Neil Mulholland and Nigel Twiston Davis, the two trainers to keep an eye on at Cheltenham this Friday and Saturday.
Mm. Yeah, it's becoming a bit of a cliche, isn't it? Nigel Twiston Davis starts the season well, and I always look at him at the opening Cheltenham meeting. But it works, doesn't it?
You've got the stats
to back that up. So that is good news. With regards to the jumpers coming back, is there anybody you're looking to this season to really, you know, surprise a few people? I know we've mentioned recently, like you know, the obvious thing is that Skelton's going to have big season, or that Paul Nicholls isn't quite as strong as he used to be, and all those kind of things. What, you know, if you were to put something on this season, what would you be expecting?
I guess the angle might be to follow Philip Hobbs in the early months of the season as well, because he struggled with a virus for much of last season. And the signs are that his horses are well handicapped as a result because they were underperforming last year. And so he could be sort of making hay in the first few months of the season. So that's probably one of the angles I hope to exploit in the next few months.
Yeah, I can see that. We'll have more on that as we go along, and we will be having a little bit of National Hunt build-up as well throughout the next few weeks during the evenings on William Hill Racing Radio as well. So do tune in if you want to get your juices flowing for the National Hunt season.
Steady, Target.
Let's keep our attention with the flat just for now, though, because the meeting at Doncaster coming up is always a very good one. Final Group 1 for the two-year-olds of the season in the shape of the Virton Futurity Trophy. 7-4 favourite there is Magna Grecia, who's all the rage, according to the media going into this weekend. Turgenev is 9-2, Phoenix of Spain 11-2, 7-1 for Japan, Broom is 10s along with Kadar and Norway, and it's 14-1 on bigger prices for the others. In terms of Saturday's big race, what's got your eye so far?
Yeah, Magna Grecia is the one I'm drawn to. Aidan O'Brien's current market leader at 7-4. Was a winner on debut at Nace in late September. Again, that can be a relatively rare thing for Aidan O'Brien two-year-olds. Was, you know, 2-1 favourite, won by 3.5 lengths. Now, the second and third haven't raced since, so we haven't really had a chance to see what, you know, the value of the horses he beat. But Magna Grecia, just 2 weeks later, turned up at Newmarket on the Rolly Mile in the Godolphin Autumn Stakes, a Group 3 contest. And he finished a neck second to Persian King, the very well-back-trained Andre Farb favourite. Now, I was impressed with the fact that he raced way off the favoured rail that day compared to the winner for most of the race. And it was only when Persian King got the rail to run against that he rallied and just did Magna Grecia close home. The pair pulled 3 lengths clear of the third. Another Aidan O'Brien runner in the shape of Circus Maximus. So I think the fact that he'd only had 2 weeks to get over that debut effort, that was pretty impressive to very nearly win a Group 3. And I think with the ground likely to be in his favour, certainly goes on a decent surface. Magna Grecia is obviously the one to beat. Mm. And he fits the profile of previous Aidan O'Brien trained winners of this race. There's plenty of dangers, particularly a couple who've just had the one run. Kadar for Carl Burke really caught the eye when winning first time out at Haydock in early September on the round course that was over a mile on good to soft ground. And again, Carl Burke's often improved for the run, and those that can win first time out tend to be very useful. So, Kadar 10-1 would be the danger at this stage. But with, I think there's about 16 declared at the moment, even more than that, 19 declared at the moment. So it'll be interesting to see how many turn up and how many of the Aidan O'Brien contingent in particular.
Mm. Aidan O'Brien, of course, trained the winner of this race last year in the shape of Saxon Warrior. I think he's won it 8 times in the past. Not the leading trainer in the race, though, with 8.
John Gosden?
No.
How far back are we going?
His last winner in the race was in 1993.
Oh, crikey.
But he trained a lot later than that. He had one of the greatest racehorses ever after that.
Oh, Sir Henry Cecil.
Sir Henry Cecil, yeah. He's got 10 victories in the race. So there you go. Good stuff. Thank you very much for that, Andrew. That is an early look ahead to the big race at Doncaster this weekend. We'll have more build-up to that as the week progresses. But let's turn our attention to matters a little closer to hand. We've got some good racing coming up on Thursday here at William Hill. We've got some jump racing at Carlisle alongside jumps racing at Southwell and Ludlow in the afternoon, and Chelmsford City in the evening. Carlisle and Chelmsford City are the two meetings that have caught Andrew's eye. He's got a selection at each of those. The first of them in the 3:40 at Carlisle, which is a 3.25-mile handicap chase. Field of 11 set to go to post for this one, Andrew. And straight into the jumps with a 3.25-mile chase. I like what you're doing there. What do you like in that race?
Yeah, good race this one, and I'm drawn to the Nigel Twiston Davis trained Ballymailin. Now, he had 3 winners at the meeting here last week, Mr. Twiston Davis. Unfortunately, I backed his 4th runner, Tintin Theatre, which is still running. Now, Ballymailin's got a particularly good record when fresh. Since switched from point to points to rules racing, his 3 seasonal debut efforts have resulted in a bumper win at Chepstow at 11-2, And the following season, he came out and won at Perth, 3 mile novice hurdle, 2-1, winning by 3 lengths. And then last season, after a break, he returned at Worcester and justified favouritism in a novice chase over 2 miles 7, a trip that's pretty much on the sharp side for him because he looks a real stayer. So I think the track at Carlisle is going to suit. He's bidding to make it 4 seasonal debut wins from 4 starts. And Twist and Davis is in fine form and does really well at this time of year. So at the moment, I think they're calling it Good to Soft, Good in Places. Mm-hmm. If I could choose the ground, I'd probably go for sort of somewhere between Good to Soft and Soft. So a little more rain wouldn't go amiss. But I think that stiff track could compensate and he looks the one to beat. I would also throw in a good word for Carrick Doone, the veteran. This one's a 13-year-old. He's got a really good record at the track and he's got a strong seasonal pattern to his form. He does his winning in October or March. He's a real spring-autumn gelding. Now, I did throw a few quid at him here last week in a similar race. That was over 3 miles. He was 25-1. He's finished sixth, but he's only beaten by around 9 lengths. He got outpaced at a crucial stage and then stayed on again. That was his first run since November of the previous year, so probably would have been needed. The extra couple of furlongs will suit here, and given that sort of fine record of October victories, I think he's won a total of 4 times during this month, and most of them here at Carlisle. Then Carrick Doone at an each-way price could also give you a run for your money then.
Okay. I just want to get your thoughts on a potential system. Sue Smith run a second time out this season. A lot of her runners on return are getting really well backed and not quite going through with it. But we know that traditionally her runners come on for a run anyway. And Sharp Response was sent off 5-2 favourite on reappearance. If there's similar market moves today, finished fourth on that occasion, could you see better from Sharp Response?
Yeah, absolutely. Last time I was in the studio, we touched on sort of Sue Smith early season runners and took on 3 at Wetherby. A couple of them were favourites, I think. And the system I'm using is to, at this time of year, oppose any Sue Smith runner that's been off the track for more than 90 days. And that's generally in the early months of the season, up to the end of November, and over fences and hurdles. And in recent years, she's got a pretty poor record in these conditions. 9 winners from 167 runners, 5% strike rate, minus £124.38 to a £1 level stake. Mm. So I haven't looked at what happens to that same group of horses on their next start, but that's some homework for me tonight, because that I'm expecting several of her sort of horses who've come out in October, November, beaten after a break, to then win second time out.
There you go. Keep an eye on that Sharp Response. See if there is a little bit of a trend going there with the Sue Smith runners. But in terms of selections, Ballymarle in the selection for Andrew in that 3:40 at Carlisle, and the 6:45 at Chelmsford is where we go for his second selection. Division 1 of this 7-furlong handicap. We've got a decent-sized field here, as you would expect, with there being 2 divisions. 11 of them set to go to post for this one. Andrew, who comes home from?
Yeah, I quite like the look of number 8 Sonnet Rose here for Conrad Allen. Conrad Allen had a winner at Kempton on Tuesday night in the shape of the well-backed Busby. And Sonnet Rose is just really developed into a proper 7-furlong all-weather expert. Now, last time out, she was second of 13 to a horse called Wilbury Twist of Roger Varian's, the 5-2 favourite at Lingfield. And in her career, she's had 10 runs over 7 furlongs on the all-weather. She's won 3 of them, and she's finished second or third in the other 7. So in terms of an each-way angle, Sonnet Rose is absolutely rock-solid in any 7-furlong all-weather race she runs in. And before that, Lingfield second last time out at 8-1. She ran 3rd over 7 furlongs here at Chelmsford, was 6-1, and only got beaten a neck and the same. Again, behind a couple of progressive 3-year-olds in the shape of Murbat and Rux, trained by Charles Hills and Andrew Balding. So although there's lots of placed efforts in those 7-furlong all-weather figures, it's generally when she bumps into a progressive 3-year-old from a top yard that she ends up only finishing second or third as opposed to winning. Now, looking at this, there are a few 3-year-olds here, but one of them's drawn wide, a couple of them from small yards. And so I don't think there's anything of the calibre that she's bumped into the last twice. And she's only a pound higher than when placing, the last twice. And I think with the yard in form, stall 8 isn't ideal, but she does break smartly. So she's best when just tracking the pace. I think she'll be able to get across and sit on the heels of the front runner, probably be in second or third place in the early stages. and at what should be an each-way price. I think we have to side with Sonnet Rose here.
Okay, Sonnet Rose then for Andrew in the 6.45 to go along with Ballymarlin in the 3.40 at Carlisle. Of the pair, strongest opinion, which do you prefer?
I think the safest one is to back Sonnet Rose each way. You know, she's probably going to be, you know, 9-2, 5-1, or thereabouts. And I'll be very surprised and disappointed if she's not in the first three.
Okay, great stuff. Thank you very much, Andrew. Very best of luck and good luck. Enjoy it on Thursday.
Thanks, Mark.
There you go, the selections for Andrew on Thursday then, and a little glance towards the weekend as well. You can listen to Thursday's action on William Hill Racing Radio. Sam Norris, Bobby Beavers, Leona Mayer and Tanya Stevenson in the studio from 1:45 p.m. for the meetings at Carlisle, Ludlow and Southwell in the afternoon, and Chelmsford City throughout the evening. So do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.